This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Of course, both of those guys will be out there in Charlotte tonight, as will our guy Anthony Slater, who joins us now on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, congratulations. You are my first solo guest. I'm sure it's got to feel pretty good for you. Check one off the bucket list, bro.
Yes, thank you. Finally, I've been waiting.
No doubt, man. So just talk about last night. And by the way, I want to get into your piece on Steph Curry about his rise to icon status. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But just general takeaways for you so far from Charlotte. How do you think the event is going?
I think good if you're from a Warriors perspective. I mean, you had two of your main guys, Clay and KD, have just kind of kept themselves out of the spotlight, didn't go to All-Star Saturday night. They just showed up Saturday briefly to do the media thing and then bounced. So they're getting the rest that they wanted. And then I think Steph pretty much had the story he wanted yesterday, except obviously didn't get the win at the end. But right, his dad had his moment. He was in Charlotte. He did it with his brother. There was a little bit of decent theater. You know, his little comeback in round one was cool. And he announced afterwards that he's probably done doing this at least for a while. We'll see if the Warriors get an All-Star weekend down the road in San Francisco, or he does something like Dirk did last night. He may do the three-point contest again, but in the future, I think he's going to take a rest day on Saturday like the other guys.
Yeah, and you would like to think that they could get a little bit of rest. I know that the rest of the Warriors and the guys that aren't at All-Star Weekend are getting a little much-needed time off for this final 25-game push into the postseason. But your piece in The Athletic, Anthony, what was the inspiration to write that? Because I thought you just nailed it, and it's the Curry from star status to superstar, whatever all-star you want to call it. And then he kind of took that next step when the Warriors won that first title into the superstar hemisphere. But now it's icon status. I mean, you know, you're on the short list with LeBron and, and KD, the absolute faces of the NBA. And just the way that he's handled that, I've been getting into that a little bit. I admire it so much. And I was hard pressed, Anthony, to ever think of a moment where I was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling what Curry's talking about right there. I mean, if ever a guy was equipped to just handle all of this, and this weekend is another shining example of that.
Yeah. As far as the inspiration, it's just,
Sounds like we're losing. Hey, let's do this. Let's call Anthony back. And by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. We just want to get Anthony on a little bit of a better connection. He was breaking up there from Charlotte. But as far as, you know, Steph Curry being the de facto mayor of these whole proceedings, as in true Curry fashion, he's handled it with great aplomb. I hope that he'll get some type of the rest that he needs, because with all due respect to NBA All-Star Weekend and the good folks of Charlotte and everybody out there, the only thing that I'm really worried about is Steph Curry being able to recharge his batteries just as coach. And we were talking to Mark Medina about this yesterday. Don't worry, I don't think Steve Kerr is going to be working out Curry too much in their first practice. I think they get back to work on Wednesday evening, so that'll kind of give them another little half day off there for Wednesday, and then they'll get rolling again on Thursday, a couple of home games before they get back out on the road. But I think so far for Curry this All-Star Weekend, him being able to actually take out Joe Harris in the final probably would have been the only thing that would have made it a little bit sweeter. But just in general, Anthony, I'm glad we got you back here. Just kind of pick up what you were saying about the way that Curry's handled all this so far. You were breaking up just a little bit.
Yeah. You kind of asked a little bit about the inspiration.
Sure.
It's kind of something I've wanted to do for a while because, this is year three traveling with him. I remember, for example, like Orlando, I would just be sitting there chatting with him in the locker room, and he's walking out to go do his like pregame shooting routine, and you're sitting there, I mean, you're just human to human, just talking to like basically a coworker in a sense. And then you get towards the tunnel where he's being seen by the crowd, and it's like God or whoever has walked out there and is shrieking children, just like almost crying at the sight of him. And it's like, man, this is very weird to be him, where you can be in this normal setting and then you burst into the public and it's just everywhere he goes. and I just wanted to, like, what is that like, especially for a guy? Again, I kind of talked to him a little bit about it in the piece, but this isn't LeBron who grew up in it, or even KD, who, you know, we're talking about a five-star recruit at 18, you know, megastar at, you know, Texas, then obviously into the NBA at 19 with a number two overall pick. It's a guy who grew up a little bit around the NBA, but didn't, you know, elevate into this status until 25, 26. And just what that's like. And yeah, if anyone wants to read it, I got a lot of stories from him, from some of the guys around him, and it's on the plan.
Yeah, and the story about him flying coach back in the day, and when traveling when Riley was so young, and kind of what that whole process was like when he realized that things had changed a little bit, and more attention was going to be paid to him going forward. You know, you'd like to think, Anthony, that a guy could have his daughter sitting on his lap at the podium, and that not be something that, quote unquote, he ended up regretting. But the other side of that is, hey, that's your child, and people wanting to come up and take pictures with your young daughter. Like, it's kind of bizarre. What do you think? I mean, do you think, I know he kind of said at first he didn't regret it, and then maybe he did. If he had it to do over again, probably wouldn't have brought her up there.
Yeah, I think what's helped him is, like, she's really like kind of like a charismatic, very friendly, you know, daughter. So
sure.
I think she doesn't necessarily mind the attention that much, but still, you know, he talked about it there. He wants to kind of protect her childhood.
Of course.
There's so many stories over the years of child stars and how that's kind of affected their brains as they kind of grow up. And, you know, at some point, Riley's going to be 10. And, like, you just don't want her to think she maybe is, like, a celebrity at all times.
Sure.
And also, just it is weird if you're just going to, I don't know, just out to a restaurant and, like, right. Strangers aren't just, you know, I think Steph can handle if they want to take a picture with him. But it does get weird if they're like, hey, you're a little 4-year-old. Can we take, you know, a picture with her? Yeah. So, I mean, there are situations where, you know, you don't foresee that when you just say, hey, come on, come up to the podium. You don't think 2 years down the road what that's still going to kind of mean.
Totally. Talking to Anthony Slater, who's out there in Charlotte. Ryan Covey with you on 95.7 The Game. I want to talk to you about the buyout market. I know that it's getting kind of thin as far as maybe potentially adding a wing, but I see your piece about Robin Lopez. I mean, is that probably going to be their most prudent route at this point, you think?
Chicago's been really stubborn with it. You know, Paxton, the guy that runs the show there, is like apparently very anti-buyout because he just doesn't like the precedent it sets that guys can just decide where to go. So I think Lopez is still trying, and you know, if it happens before March, that is definitely the most likely candidate. That's who they've wanted really since Damian Jones tore his pec in Detroit a while ago. But if it's not him, they might go the wing route. I could really see them at some point just converting Damian Lee. You know, he's had a decent year as a shooter. He could maybe help a little bit in the playoffs. Because the reality is, I don't really think they have a need in general.
Right.
They're so long, you know, and healthy.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the 15th roster spot of this team, and if that's your most pressing issue, I think you're doing all right. About the game today, Team Giannis, Team LeBron, how do you like the new format? The one change that I'm saying, Anthony, I'd like is get everybody on the floor and pick them that day, like on the floor, and just split them up and LeBron picks, Giannis picks, do it right out there on the floor. Other than that, though, I love the fact that it was publicized. Then we don't have to speculate who was picked last. It was Bradley Beal, and guess what? Nobody really cares anyway. What do you think of the new format?
Yeah, you know, I like it, and I do. I'm with you. I like that they publicized it this year. I think it would be tough for the NBA to do it, as you said. I mean, that'd be fun to see, you know, on the court. But the problem is, like, they've split up the people yesterday into, you know, media sessions.
That's true.
These public practices. So they almost kind of need the teams beforehand. And just all the promo stuff, the marketing out here that I see in Charlotte, they kind of have the team split, and they're wearing their different jerseys. So, as cool as that does sound, the street ball style, I think that's kind of tough for the league. And then as far as like how it plays out on the court, we've only seen 1 year of it last year, but that was by far the best competition we've seen on the court. I don't know how much the format had to do with it, but they were, you know, that was a pretty live game last year in Los Angeles. And I'm hoping to see similar effort tonight because when we do, you're actually kind of into the game. I remember the fourth quarter last year felt like a legitimate game.
Yeah, and, you know, it's bragging rights at that point. And, you know, hey, I picked you first, man. You need to be coming through for me. And then, of course, let the Bradley Beals of the world, the guy that, you know, was picked last, let him rise up and carry that chip on his shoulder. I want to ask you quickly, Anthony, about Boogie Cousins and just how you feel he's grading out and how you feel he's integrating into the squad so far.
You know, I think probably nearly as good as you'd expect. You know, I think they've been smart to keep his minutes still. You know, started him around 20. They bumped it to around 25, 26-ish. And after the break, they said, you know, they might start pushing him over 30. I think this is a good time for him to get away, for his body to, you know, that you kind of got through that first 10-game barrier, and now he's in Puerto Vallarta right now with Draymond. So when he comes back, we'll see how he comes in. I think, look, he's already shown he rebounds unbelievably for their center spot. Something they haven't had, the skill, the shooting, he adds so much. Where I want to see if he can kind of improve is, you know, his isolation moves seem a bit stiff right now.
He's
blocked a lot at the rim, been inefficient. I just think he's a little rusty there, number one. He's always been a little bit of a below-the-rim player, but I think they either, one, need him to get back a little bit more fluid on those moves, or two, they just need to stop going to him as much, and that might be tough for him to handle because he's so used to the high usage, but it's just not a very inefficient play right now to go to him in isolation. And it's for a team that is basically efficient anywhere else they try to go.
Yeah, and do you think that they're trying to force the issue with him at all? And I know the players want to make him feel welcome, and the whole essence of Warriors basketball when they're at their best is sharing the rock and, you know, hitting that 30-assist mark. But I also feel like they want to make sure he knows that, you know, integrating him is at the front of their priority list. But I think there might be the propensity to maybe force that a little bit instead of just letting it come naturally.
Oh, definitely. They've been force feeding him really since game one in LA. I remember the first possession.
Oh, yeah.
I think, yeah, he went like right at Gortat and like kind of missed a layup like on the bottom of the rim. And that's understandable, especially in the regular season. You know, they don't prioritize too much in the regular season. It's not that serious.
Sure.
I think they not only want to get him more comfortable and, like, you know, let him work off, you know, shake off this rust, but also, like, they just want him to feel good. They want him to feel like, you know, his body's right. You know, that the team kind of trusts him. And I think they really want him to have a 30-point night pretty soon.
Yeah.
And you know, there probably is going to be a game where he comes out and he's a little bit hot. He hits a couple threes early. He scores a couple times. And that game, I really think they're going to try to get him going. But at some point, especially in these bigger games coming up, you know, they're playing the Rockets, I think, the second game out of the break. I think they want to see him fit into a game where maybe he only gets, like, five shots. But how does he do is just kind of a spacer. How does he defend Harden in the pick and roll? How does he handle not closing? You know, when Iguodala's closing, he feels like he can. Those are the more important things as you look towards the playoff.
No doubt. Hey, Anthony, man, appreciate your time. Look forward to our conversations. And, hey, you're going to get a little bit of a break at some point, right? Or is it just 24/7, 365 at The Athletic? Work, work, work.
I'll be Monday, Tuesday. I probably won't write anything, but that's the extent of my vacation. I'll probably spend it in my bed.
All right, good stuff, man. Well, great piece on Curry. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you, brother, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, good stuff. Anthony Slater out there in Charlotte. Team LeBron, Team Giannis. And, yeah, he's right. It is a pipe dream for me having the guys pick him, but logistically for the NBA, it's good to know who's going to be on which squad. So, you know, as far as the media responsibilities. And then, of course, yeah, getting in a little practice as well. But I just like old school street ball. Do it at the gym. Pick them up. But maybe that won't be the most prudent route to go. All right, it is 95-7, the game. On the other side, we will get into some Bryce Harper news. We got a little sound as well for you. Sounds like Bryce Harper and the Phillies maybe getting close. We'll talk about that coming up next. It is 95-7, the game.
Now back to 95-7, the game.
Yeah, what's happening, everybody? Happy Sunday morning. Ryan Covey with you. Very excited to come over here and join the movement on the FM side, 95.7 The Game. And again, shout out Matt Nahigi and Danny Freisinger and everybody here at 95.7. Arms wide open, baby. Just welcoming me into the fold. And boy, when I got to announce that I was starting over here and taking the next step in my journey, just the amount of people from this station that reached out to me, Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, Bonte Hill, Joe Shasky, John Dickinson. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And I've known about what's going on over here for a long time, and to be able to come over here and join up and really join the movement. It's an honor and a privilege. And what I can tell you about me is I've got a passion for this stuff. I will prep I will bring opinions. I don't do fake hustle. I don't like to go the hot take route. I just talk from the heart, man. I'm a sports fan. I didn't play sports professionally. I'm not an ex-jock. I'm just a sports fan like everybody else. And you want to talk sports, I want my shows to be a forum of discussion, a forum of respect. And I don't mind dissenting opinions. Just bring something. Have something to back it up. That's all I ask. And if you want to talk about anything on your mind, Bryce Harper, NBA All-Star Weekend, the 49ers, and should they be courting Antonio Brown, it's all on the table for you at 888-957-9570. Maybe you got a hot take you want to get off, something that's been sticking in your craw for a little while. This is the forum to do it. And I invite you to do that. And just stop by and say hello. So you can also hit me on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. All right, Bryce Harper, when is this dude going to sign? And more to the point, where is this dude going to sign? First of all, we do have a little sound from Jim Bowden of The Athletic, who was on CBS Sports last night. I'll get to that in just a moment. But about Bryce Harper, when you say, okay, if you're signing Bryce Harper, what exactly are you getting? Well, I think the best thing to do is to compare him to other players. Now, let me just tell you how I went about this. I wanted to see how he stacked up against other what would be considered marquee players. So what I did, like any person would, I got on the internet machine and I worked the Google and I typed in greatest outfielders in MLB history. And then, of course, you get the list, right? You get the Ken Griffey's, you get the Barry Bonds, you get the Willie Mays, you get the Mike Trouts. And I said, okay, I go to Baseball Reference. Now, Bryce Harper has played 927 games in his career, about 6.5-7 seasons worth of service in Major League Baseball. He's had a couple of injuries in there. But the way you can do it on Baseball Reference is you can break it up like by, you can look at a group of years for any specific player. So with a lot of these guys, I grabbed the closest to 927 that I could get in a grouping of years from the start of their career, because I wanted to do it from the start. Bryce Harper is 26 years old. Feels like he's been in Major League Baseball for like a decade. He's only 26. So even if you sign the guy, and I know Kolsky was talking about this yesterday with Herbs, even if you got the guy on a 10-year deal, when it expires, he's only going to be 35. And while there are no sure things in Major League Baseball, I'm here to tell you that as far as acquiring some power and acquiring a difference maker and acquiring somebody that I would want to go down to Oracle Park and watch play on a nightly basis and an at-bat, that I'm going to make sure that I'm not in the beer line or I'm not getting a cha-cha bowl or some garlic fries, it's this dude, okay? Because he's got a little bit of that flamboyancy, and obviously he's got a little bit of that skill set as well. Let me tell you how he stacks up. First of all, Bryce Harper, give you a little background, 927 games, 184 jacks, 521 RBIs, a career 900 OPS, 183 doubles, 610 runs. He's got a career 388 on base percentage, slugs 512 with 585 walks. Pretty respectable stat line for his career, right? Not too shabby for your first 927 games. You know who he compares to statistically? Some guy named Ken Griffey Jr. Maybe you've heard of him. And keep in mind, this is the first 917 games of Ken Griffey Jr.'s career. Now, this is purely offensive. I realize Ken Griffey Jr., a far superior defensive outfielder to Bryce Harper. That's not what I'm talking about here. And if he were to ever come to the Bay Area and play at Oracle Park, of course, he would have to learn how to play probably the toughest right field in Major League Baseball. I give you that. I'm talking purely offense, which, by the way, is precisely what the San Francisco Giants need. Okay, I think we can all agree on that. Ken Griffey Jr., first 917 games, so 10 games less than Bryce, but basically the same thing, 927 versus 917. Harper, 184 home runs. Griffey, 189. Griffey, only five more home runs. RBIs, you give it to Griff, 585 to 521. I mean, that's, you know what, 64 RBIs. That's a decent amount, but again, that's not a quantum leap between the two. That's pretty damn close. Harper, career 900 OPS at that point. At this point in his career, Griffey at that point, career 915 OPS. Doubles, Griffey 201, Harper 183. Runs, Harper's got him 610 to 570. Harper's got him in on-base percentage, 388 to 379. Slugging, it's 536 to 512 in favor of Griffey. Walks, 585 to 426 in favor of Bryce Harper. My point is, if Ken Griffey Jr., would hit the open market in the modern day climate of Major League Baseball, and he was a free agent right now, how much you think Ken Griffey Jr. would command on the open market? You think somebody might hand him a check for, what, 10 years, $350 million? You think somebody might be willing to do that? Because I do. Because, you know, he's Ken Griffey Jr. So the numbers between Bryce Harper and Ken Griffey Jr. are eerily similar. How about Willie Mays? You know, Willie frickin' Mays. Okay, Willie Mays' first 914 games. So 13 games less than the sample size for Bryce Harper. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about, what, one of the five greatest baseball players that has ever lived? I think that's not a stretch to say that Willie Mays is probably, I mean, top 10 for sure. Willie Mays, 914 games, hit 215 bombs, 605 RBIs, had a 984 OPS. Harper has more doubles. They're close in runs. On-base percentage is only 5 points to separate them. Slugging percentage, you give it to Mays there. He's 591 to 512 for Bryce Harper. Harper, 585 walks to 440 for Willie Mays. My point is, of course, Bryce Harper is not Willie Mays, but it is not some quantum leap statistically from Willie Mays' first 914 games in Major League Baseball to Bryce Harper's first 927. Again, not talking defensively, which I understand is a part of it. I just don't think that you can really concern yourself a whole hell of a lot with what a guy's defensive acumen is if you're the San Francisco Giants at that point, because that's why you have Steven Duggar in center field. That's why you got gold gloves all over that infield. And even if having Bryce Harper at some point cost you a run here, a run there, a game here, a game there with an errant play, an errant throw, whatever, cost of doing business. To get that kind of production offensively and to have that kind of a bat in your lineup, I think that is an absolute critical addition that Farhan Zaidi should be doing everything in his power to consummate. Now, to that end, it is sounding like it might be the Philadelphia Phillies. But just to kind of wrap up my point on Bryce Harper, and I give Damon Bruce all the credit in the world for this because I heard him talking about it the other day, but that's kind of what got me going down this rabbit hole comparing him to other players. Remember when the San Francisco Giants brought Barry Bonds from the Pittsburgh Pirates? And remember how everybody rejoiced? And remember how Bonds would go on to change the face of baseball in the Bay Area forever? Barry Bonds' time in Pittsburgh, now I get it. This was probably before maybe he had a little bit of, what do we want to call it? Medical assistance? Okay, he took steroids. All right, there you go. Before he took the steroids, Barry Bonds in Pittsburgh played 1,010 games. Harper's got more home runs. Harper, they're close in RBIs. It's 556 to 521. Harper had a better OPS. Doubles are close. Bonds got him by a little bit in runs. Harper had a better on-base percentage. Harper had a better slugging percentage. And the walks were 611 to 585. And keep in mind, the sample size for Bonds is 1,010 games that he played in Pittsburgh. Harper is only 927. So again, you're basically getting Ken Griffey Jr. or Barry Bonds, like, and about to enter the prime years of his Major League Baseball career. So this whole notion that is Bryce Harper worth the money? If he's not, then who the hell is? Let me ask you, Giants fans, at 888-957-9570, how pleased are you with the moves that Farhan Zaidi's made so far in his tenure as Giants manager? And these aren't exactly massive needle movers. I mean, Gerardo Parra, I know he can play all three outfield spots. That's great. They bring in Cameron Maybin yesterday. Nice righty option in center field. He can be a little bit of an insurance policy to Steven Duggar. If he struggles, he's a career 254 hitter. And then you got Solarte in the infield, who can basically play everywhere, who is a prime Farhan Zaidi type of player. But these are the kind of buyer's market moves that the Giants have made. And to me, what they signify is this team, they're going to give it another go this year and try and compete. And it's not tear it all down to the studs. Let's acquire as many draft picks as we can and start some youth movement. The San Francisco Giants aren't in a position to do that. Why? Because they've got a ton of guys that have no movement clauses. And I don't want to ever use the term stuck with guys like Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey. I have too much respect for what they've accomplished, and they've been too great of players and citizens. But in essence, he is stuck with these guys because I think if Farhan, if you put that truth serum in him and he had his druthers, he would tear this thing down, but he's just not really in a position to do that. He's stuck with Evan Longoria. Who's going to take that contract off his hands right now? Nobody. You think anybody's banging down their door for Brandon Belt right now? No chance. So I think what this year, in essence, is going to end up being, and this is whether they're able to get Bryce Harper or not, this is going to be, at least for the first half until the trade deadline, this is going to be a show me what you've got. And, of course, the biggest chip in all of this is Madison Bumgarner. And I think if they were going to trade Madison in the offseason, would have already happened. Of course, now they're in spring training. They're not trading him now. I don't think that they'll trade him, you know, before the trade deadline, you know, some like, you know, May type deal, something like that. I think if he is traded, it'll be at the trade deadline, and hopefully they can get a nice haul for him. The problem is, if you traded Bumgarner this past season, a team could have had him for a couple of postseason runs guaranteed, even if they don't sign him to a long-term deal. Now you're only getting him for one postseason run. Having said that, if there's a team in contention that feels like they're maybe just one piece away, I think Bumgarner could attract a lot of attention on the trade market. And really, at that point, all Farhan's hoping is for the teams to get in a bidding war. Because with all due respect, and by the way, 925 says Bumgarner has to go. Look, to sign Madison Bumgarner to a long-term deal, I think as far as pitchers go, that has a lower track record of success than, say, signing a 26-year-old Bryce Harper to a long-term deal. We'll get into more on the Giants in just a moment as far as how this roster is shaping up. And if you want to weigh in on the Giants, 888-957-9570 is the number. Jim Bowden of The Athletic was on CBS Sports, and this could potentially be bad news. Now, we've heard it that Harper's close to deals with the Giants. So I take all this with a grain of salt, but it sounds like this stuff could be close to being consummated, a deal with maybe Harper and the Phillies. Let's hear what Jim Bowden of The Athletic had to say on CBS. Go ahead.
I see it much differently. I see Bryce Harper either going to the Phillies or perhaps the Nationals, but I keep hearing there's a lot of momentum and traction here on him going and signing with the Philadelphia Phillies, and he could be rounding third and heading to home shortly. And I think Harper's ready to go. I don't think he's going to sign a short-term deal. That's what the San Francisco Giants offered him. Every indication I get is that he's going to get at least 10 years, and he's going to get more than $300 million. That has not changed, and nor have my two favorite places for him. Philadelphia, one clearly, and a distant two, Washington. That's where I have him right now.
Fair enough. And we know Farhan, he's a bit more pragmatic when it comes to these type of things. I mean, 10 years, that's a freaking decade. That's a long time to commit. I never in a million years would give a pitcher that kind of a deal. I wouldn't even want to give a pitcher a five-year deal. But a position player like Bryce Harper, I mean, what's going to stop Bryce Harper from being productive for the next 10 years? Anything short of a catastrophic injury? I mean, watch the guy play. Clearly, he's born to hit a baseball. When God created Bryce Harper, he decided he was going to make him a very special athletic specimen. And I know he had a bit of a down year offensively last year. It was a contract year. He was probably pressing a little bit. The power numbers were still decent, but I know his average took a real hit. But you look at the body of work, the overall time, the 927 games, and I just laid it out for you. The guy is basically Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., a not short of Willie freaking Mays at this point in his career. And that's the numbers. I know that to me, I'm more of a seeing is believing guy. I actually like to watch the players play and not just let the sabermetricians tell me players' value. But these type of things, they can't be disputed. OPS, that's a pretty good barometer of how effective a power hitter is. And when I look at this Giants lineup last night, right now, whew, not a lot to titillate me. Gerardo Parra, nice little addition. Is that getting them over the hump? Is that beating the LA Dodgers? No chance. Steven Duggar, we don't know what he's going to be yet. He's only had a handful of at-bats at the major league level. Matter of fact, when you look at the body of work for some of these guys, it's almost shocking how little these guys have played in the outfield. Steven Duggar, 152 career plate appearances, hitting .255. Austin Slater, 352 plate appearances, career .263 hitter. Mack Williamson, you know, the guy that can't lay off a pitch out of the zone, 339 plate appearances. He's a career .222 hitter. And then you got Chris Shaw, the guy that I keep hearing about. Oh, Chris Shaw, he's something, man. He's got it. Yeah, well, in his 62 plate appearances, granted, very small sample size, he's hitting 185. So, yeah, this team, Bryce Harper, you put him in that outfield, now all of a sudden some of these other guys, they start to look a little better. And you know what else that does? You put Bryce Harper in the middle of that order, then you're not asking Buster Posey to be a cleanup hitter. Buster Posey's not a cleanup hitter. Buster Posey, when he's at his best, is a three hitter. And at this point in his career, I'd rather see him hitting like sixth. Brandon Crawford, probably more like a seven hitter. Brandon Belt, when he's locked in Brandon Belt, when he's, I am actually engaged in the game of baseball Brandon Belt, two, maybe a three hitter, maybe. But Brandon Belt has these stretches where he looks listless and he has the body language that drives you crazy as a Giants fan. And I know that's a very polarizing topic for Giants fans, the Brandon Belt situation. Let me ask you this, Giants fans, 888-957-9570. You want to see Brandon Belt manning first base for the next 4 years for your squad? You want to go down to Oracle Park and watch Brandon Belt for the, whatever it is, 110 games on average that he's going to be available for every season? Is that worth the price of admission for you? Because make no mistake, first base, third base, right field, left field, that's where you get your power from. Probably not going to get it from Evan Longoria this year. If last year was any indication, you talk about a dude being on the back nine, and defensively he was a mess. I know he's got a gold glove on the shelf, but last year, that wasn't gold glove caliber play. Even Brandon Crawford, who during and the off the field stuff for Crawford, I mean, how the fact that he was able to overcome a lot of that stuff and even be remotely productive last year was a testament to his professionalism. But even Brandon Crawford, I mean, you talk about what can you really expect from him at this point? Defensively, he's worth the price of admission, but watching him going up there and hacking all day, I don't need to see that. See, that's the thing. A guy like Bryce Harper, that gives me a reason. That gives me a reason to go down to that park. That gives me a reason to make sure that I'm locked in watching every game. That gives me a reason to be excited. And don't tell me for 1 second, oh, hold on, Ryan, hold on, hold on. This is the most tired argument ever. Hold on, Ryan. So let's say that they get Bryce Harper. They're still not a contender. Well, if that's your rationale, then why would you ever get anyone? Brick by brick, right, Jed? Isn't that what they're doing down in San Francisco? Or excuse me, Santa Clara, pardon me. Isn't that the whole idea? Brick by brick, if you don't ever add a formidable piece, then yeah, you will never win. But what's the point if you're not trying to add championship caliber pieces? And don't tell me, oh, well, he can't. They're not going to win. They're not a playoff team in 2019 anyway. In 2020, why go get Bryce Harper? That's why you give him a 10-year deal. That's why you offer him 10 years and $350 million. Basically, whatever he wants. What choice do you have? What are the other options? Are we going to wait for Chris Shaw to come around? Are we going to hope that Mack Williamson, it finally all clicks for him? I mean, haven't we done this before? Haven't we been down this road before? Harper is a splash. That's a big time move. That's a statement. 408. When am I ranting about the Cubs and the Bears? I care about the Bay Area teams because I was born here. Thanks, though. Let's see. 707. I think Bear is still pissed that Stanton didn't come here. Bear doesn't want to lose this one. Well, really, I think they've given the keys to Farhan in this respect as president of baseball ops. I think they have given him every power to and every means to try and make this move. 510, no, I don't want to watch Brandon Belt or any of these bats. Boring, boring, boring. Give me a power bat. See, that's it. Give me a reason to come to the yard. If we're so worried about baseball lacking the entertainment value, you know what's not entertaining? Watching the Giants score one run on four hits every nine innings. That's not entertainment. And even if they sucked out loud this year and they were a 75-win team, whatever, at least you could have a bit of a foundation. Something, and guess what? You know what Bryce Harper could help you do if you had him here? Attract more high-profile free agents. You're not the Miami Marlins. You're the San Francisco Giants. You won three World Series titles in 5 years. Stop playing this small ball. You're not the Oakland A's. You got money. You just got a huge check for renaming your park. Reinvest that money into the team. Because otherwise, remember the sellout streak ending last year? The lack of interest in Giants baseball down the stretch? And with all due respect to Derek Rodriguez and Andrew Suarez and Steven Duggar, some nice ancillary pieces. The analytics say that Major League Baseball is probably going to catch up to Derek Rodriguez. Now, I watched him pitch quite a bit, so I will tell you that I think Rodriguez is probably going to be better than the quote-unquote experts are predicting that he's going to be, but I also don't think that we're looking at a guy that's going to give you, you know, 200 innings and win 18 games this year. He's not the second coming of Kirk Reeder or Madison Bumgarner or something like that. I don't see that. But as far as giving you something to believe in, remember that Poison song, "Give Me Something to Believe In"? That's all we're looking for as baseball fans. I mean, every year that passes, 2014, further and further away. It's less and less relevant every day. Totally different comparison, but it was like the Denver Broncos going out and signing Joe Flacco. Oh, but Ryan, he won a Super Bowl. Yeah, freaking 8 years ago. How's that going to help you this year? If Bryce goes to the Phillies, that's bad news because this team needs him, not just from an offensive standpoint and an ability to help your team, but just something for this fan base to reinvigorate this core of players. Think about what having a Bryce Harper in that lineup could do for a Brandon Belt or a Buster Posey. Slot them in a more natural spot, give them some protection, and ultimately give this team something to believe in. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We will talk to Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group at the top of the hour. He's down there in spring training with the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk about some of the moves that Farhan has made. Giants fans, to Bryce or not to Bryce, that is the question. We'll have the answers, and we'll have it next.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
What's happening, everybody? Happy Sunday morning. It is Ryan Covey with you, taking you 8 a.m. up to high noon, shaking off the cobwebs, nursing that hangover. Maybe you're out perving and swerving watching the dunk contest last night. Boy, if you were, I feel sorry for you. To each his own. NBA All-Star Weekend, though. We got Team Giannis and Team LeBron later on this afternoon, and then the Warriors we'll have a couple of days off. They'll have a practice on Wednesday. Thursday, they get rolling again in this push for the three-peat. And we will get into some more NBA talk and some more Golden State Warriors a little bit later on. But later on this segment, Kerry Crowley, who covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group, is going to join us. Kerry's a good friend of mine and just one of the brilliant young writers in sports, and we're looking forward to checking in with him. We'll talk to him about Bryce, and we'll talk to him about some of the moves that Farhan Zaidi's made. And let me ask you this, Giants fans. Do you need a splash in 2019? Do you need something that signifies that this is now Farhan's regime, and do you need him to make that signature move in his first year? Or are you kind of looking at it in the longer approach that, hey, there are no quick fixes in all this, and even if you get Bryce Harper, it's not going to change your fortunes this season, so maybe you kind of want to take that longer approach. And, you know, he's not going to be able to put his signature on this team the way he would like until a lot of these guys who have those no-movement clauses and have these inflated contracts are able to be shuffled down the line a bit. I mean, the Giants have more money committed in 2021 than any team in Major League Baseball. There was a lot of bad contracts handed out. Now, you're saying, hold up, Ryan, hold up. No, so you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're saying they've handed out bad contracts, so you don't want to go that route, but you're saying give Bryce Harper a 10-year deal. Look, Bryce Harper, that's something totally different. That's like Barry Bonds. That's like Ken Griffey. Those kind of things, they don't come around very often. Guys like Bryce Harper, they don't hit the open market. And the only way you can acquire players, we know, there's only a couple. You can trade for them. You can draft them, or you can sign them as free agents. If you draft them, you got to develop them. They spend years in the minors. That is a very imperfect science. You trade for them, you want something, you got to give up something to get it, right? That's the whole notion of a trade. Both sides got to be satisfied in order to consummate a trade. The free agent route, all you got to do is flex your financial muscles. Why are the New York Yankees relevant every single freaking year? Why are the Boston Red Sox relevant every single year? Because they can afford to be. And the San Francisco Giants acting like they can't afford to play in the big boy pool? Unacceptable for me. Not when I'm paying that much for a cha-cha bowl and some garlic fries and a sando at the Organic Coup. No chance. By the way, love the Organic Coup. But my point is, quit acting like you're small time. You're big time. 3-5, man. 3 World Series titles in 5 years. That changed everything for this franchise, and rightfully so. You're flush with cash. You know the only way that this team will not remain in the current financial standing that it is? If you don't reinvest and you take that success for granted and you rest on your laurels and you suck for 5 years and that place is half full and the Warriors go on to the Chase Center and end up blowing it out and baseball continues to diminish in popularity and the kids aren't playing and we're more worried about pace of play and the numbers continue to drop, and then 10 years from now you're like, damn, why didn't we get on this when we had the chance? Why didn't we fix this when we had the chance? Why weren't we proactive? And what is the best way to get butts in the seat down there? Which, by the way, that is the name of the frickin' game. Give me something to go and see. Bryce Harper, that's something to go and see. You already got rid of Hunter Strickland, so we're good there, right? I actually thought that would have been great, having Bryce and Hunter Strickland on the same squad. But let me just say, like a lot of these guys on the current Giants roster, the 2018 Giants, the Hunter Strickland as a Giant, that thing had absolutely run its course. 888-957-9570 is the number. To Bryce or not to Bryce, that is the question. Al in Novato, he wants to weigh in. Al, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's cracking, man? Happy Sunday.
Sunday to you. Thank God the sun's out, too.
So no doubt.
With that, let's throw some sunshine on the Giants. I think, basically, Bryce Harper, he really is a good player, but he's just not worth $35 million, or he would have been gone by now. What I think the Giants, I hope the Giants get it, but I don't think they have to pay $35 million. And for 10 years at $35 million, that's a lot of mistakes that you get to try and find and build a team. So I think they're doing really well with how they're doing with this, to wait it out a little bit and make good decisions, because you want to build, you know, not a one game, not a one season. You want to build a foundation.
Let me ask you this, Al, and I'll let you finish up. Let me ask you this. Are the New York Yankees sitting around worried about, opening up their wallet if it's the quote-unquote right decision? Giancarlo Stanton was available. They went out and made it happen like every other big-time free agent. Were the Red Sox worried about the long-term ramifications of going out and getting J.D. Martinez? Nope. They said that's what it costs. That's the price of doing business, to go swim in the big boy pool. And guess what? Red Sox just had a parade. Yankees were just in the ALCS last year. Isn't that the whole name of the game? Is to have meaningful games in October and acquiring players like Bryce Harper, that's just the cost of doing business. And by the way, $35 million, while it may seem like a lot of money now, 6-7 years down the road, if you got Bryce Harper, a perennial all-star at that number, that's probably actually going to be a bargain at that point. It's crazy to think that it could be headed there, but that's where it could be headed.
Okay, let me give you my take on that. You can't compare the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. They were loaded anyway. Look at their pitching lineup. Look at their field lineup.
It's got to start somewhere, though.
All-stars are like, another way, let me finish. The next thing also is this. Like I said, you want to build for the future. You want to get to that level. You're not going to, Bryce Harper ain't going to service. Ain't going to do that. Bryce Harper has been trending down. He's batting, what, 240? What, 20 home runs?
He's 26.
Yeah.
I don't think he's trending down. His best years could still potentially be ahead of him. Is it a gamble? Of course, life's a gamble. My point is, it's not our money anyway, Al, and they have the money. They have the money. And they reset their luxury tax and all that. That's great. You handled that in 2019. This team's got cash. They're not the Oakland A's, man. This is San Francisco Giants. They have the money. They have the financial means to do this.
A lot of good players out there, guys. There's a lot of good players. And I'd be more excited bringing these young guys and see them build and get these. I'm not against Bryce Harper, but not $35 million.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Check in anytime. No, and hey, no problem. I'm totally for other points of view on this, and I get it. It when you say the number out loud, the years and the number financially, 10 years, $350 million, that is a huge chunk of scratch. That's one-third of $1 billion with a B. I get it. That's the cost of doing business in Major League Baseball for the big market teams. It just is. And, you know, Bryce, I know that he wants to set up this contract, so he's got a couple of opt-out clauses a couple of years down the road. And if it's an injury situation you're worried about, you can insure against that. The point is, right now, let me just tell you what we're looking at right now. Gerardo Parra, Chris Shaw, Steven Duggar, Mack Williamson, Austin Slater, Alan Hansen, Drew Ferguson, and Cameron Maben. Cameron Maben's played for like 67 different teams. Nice guy, versatile, decent player. Anybody in that outfield you like are like, oh, look, I got to go get a ticket. Let me get on StubHub. Let me go shoulder tap somebody on the corner down there at Third and King. Let me make sure I'm there. After opening day, Crickets City this year. And guess what? It's been Cricket City for the last couple of years because this team doesn't have impact players. And God bless Bobby Evans. He had his constraints last year, and I understood why he went the McCutcheon route. The Longoria thing I was leery of because that's a long time for a guy that's on the wrong side of 30. Bryce Harper's 26. He's 26. And did you hear the numbers? He's Ken Griffey Jr. at this point in his career. That's who he is. Without the defense, give you that. I don't care about defense at this point. The Giants have bigger problems than getting a defensive stalwart in right field. Pitching, defense, and clutch hitting won 3 World Series titles in 5 years. That seems like a freaking eternity ago now. Major League Baseball's changed. You got to have somebody in the middle of your lineup that pumps fear and also slots guys into more natural spots in the lineup. Henry, in Oaktown, let's get you on real quick before we get to Carey Crowley. Henry, what's going on, brother? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning.
What's happening, bro? Chilling.
Oh, I was just chiming in on the Bryce Harper situation. His age says it all, man. 26, great ball player. He's going to attract, you know, fans. He's going to put butts in the seat, man. It's a no-brainer.
Right.
The last caller was saying about getting other players. There's no other players out there. Bryce Harper is the player, man.
No doubt. What, are you going to go get Manny Machado, a guy that quit, basically? A guy that won't run out grounders? I mean, come on.
Yeah, he got to pick that up, man. Come on, loafing like that, man. You getting paid money. Young kids watching. You got to pick that up, man.
No doubt.
You know, and can you go kind of easy on my A's, man? You know,
I got love for the A's.
Not the Giants when it comes to the wallet, but, you know, we there.
Hey, thanks for the call. We got to run, Henry. But, yeah, no, I'm an East Bay guy. I grew up in the Coliseum. I would love nothing more than the Oakland A's to be relevant. Lou Wolf, worst thing that ever happened to that team. Straight up. And get him a new damn stadium, okay? And then we can talk. You want to come swim in the big boy pool? All right, you got to bring your big boy trunks. Straight up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.